Tonight is an economic development forum for the South End to try and bring people more aware of the various things that are already going on and kind of spur discussion between different groups and make sure that the people in this community have a voice in what's going on. It is sponsored by the South End Community Collaborative, which is a community group that is working on all of these issues and many more.
Hudson Mohawk Magazine recently spoke to South End Albany resident Tom McFeeters at a meeting held at the Albany Housing Authority building on South Pearl Street. Residents gathered to hear about progress on various projects underway to help lift one of the city's most historic and beleaguered neighborhoods. Discussion ranged from a proposal to turn a former warehouse on Warren Street into a film soundstage to job opportunities at the Port of Albany. Steve Longo of the Housing Authority summed up much of what his agency's been up to, especially in terms of its most visible housing entity in one of the area's landmarks in Lincoln Square.
There's 190 families and individuals that live and call Lincoln Square home. But Lincoln Square is built in the 60s, rehabbed in the 80s. It's at the end of its useful life for that rehab. And many in the community in that 19, that plan from over, I think it was 2008, they said that the towers of Lincoln served as like a concrete barrier to the prosper nature of the mansion neighborhood from the South End, and that they were symbolic of a failed housing policy of the 60s. And so it called for the de-densification, for the housing to be interspersed in the neighborhood and for the towers to come down. So the good news is mission accomplished on goal number one. We have submitted over the last 10 years three funding applications to the state of New York, and we have finished and built all new housing interspersed in the neighborhood of the South End. Really high quality, beautiful housing, some rehab, but most of it new construction. The architects were really good because they blended it into the neighborhood and the existing architecture. We didn't empty the towers out and move the families into the new units because it still is an expense to maintain the vacant unit, the vacant buildings, and it's estimated, based upon the one building we tore down, that it's going to cost us over $4.5 million to tear these buildings down. So we didn't really want them to stand as like iconic symbols of a failed housing policy and board them all up. Not to mention, we had like 10,000 people on our waiting list. And so we're now operating both of the units, but it's really getting time. We have to make a decision because we have not upgraded the elevator systems and other buildings, other systems in the building, because the concept is that we're going to tear them down. We're looking at something called a request for qualifications, in which we're looking for developers who will come in and come up with ideas, tear the building down, use it for economic development purposes to generate jobs and market rate amenities in the community that would bring new people into the community and create jobs for the people that are there now. Or perhaps somebody thinking out of the box might come up with a plan to renovate the towers. So it's going to be sort of what you might have read about going on in Troy with the Taylor Apartments. They're going out for a request for qualifications. So we're doing something very similar. So we have 2,400 apartments. And so what we'll do is we'll stop leasing up probably 3 to 4 months ahead of time, and we'll meet individually with every family. We'll also stop leasing up vouchers, and we'll meet with every family and come up with a plan, either another HA unit or a Section 8 voucher. And because this is brought about through a federal action, the families living in Lincoln would be protected under the Uniform Relocation Act, and they would get all their moving expenses covered, as well as they would be guaranteed an apartment of similar size and cost.
Longo went on to speak about the South Campus building that BOCES will be taking over management of. Other speakers talked about the ways in which the port is starting to work to integrate its activities into the community better, including a shifting of truck traffic off neighborhood roads and someone from the city of Albany talked about a new bike and pedestrian path under the highway in parts that drew more questions than accolades from those gathered. An aide to the Albany County Executive spoke about plans to move the Board of Elections into the former DMV space and upgrade their buildings and possibly add a health and wellness aspect to things. Finally, someone from CDTA talked about a new bus line hooking the South End to North Albany, Menands, Watervliet, Cohoes, and Troy.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ross Farrell. I'm the Director of Planning for CDTA. Here to talk about a project, which is the River Corridor BRT. Real quick, if you don't know what BRT is, it's basically the exact same thing that we have on from Albany to Schenectady, which is the red line, the bus plus red line. So mimicking that type of service in the South End. And basically what bus rapid transit is, it's the sort of the halfway point between light rail and conventional bus service. We should have a contractor by the end of June, so the rest of the project will start construction in July, and service would start in the fall of 2020. Here's the routing, and just because it's a difficult map to show on, but the main point of this is it's a 16-mile corridor. It goes all the way from Waterford and Cohoes through the city of Albany, through the city of Troy, hits a number of neighborhoods in Troy, then goes through downtown Troy, goes across the river to Watervliet, through Menands, and past multiple locations in Menands, and then enters Albany, where it hits a number of neighborhoods, North Albany, the warehouse district, downtown Albany, and then comes to the South End, where you can actually see is where we have the most amount of stations for it, if you start in Madison. There's actually a split of the service where one branch will go up 2nd Avenue and another branch will continue down to Ezra Apprentice homes. And the corridor characteristics of why we chose this for BRT, right now it has the third highest, so of the three lines, it has the third highest amount of ridership in CDTA system, so it's 3 million rides per year. Keep in mind, we have 16 million per year overall, so this is a huge percentage of our ridership. It's a dense urban, dense corridor, really throughout. The part in Menands gets a little less dense, but still, overall, it's development, a lot of people. And I think a very key part of this is a lot of public housing sites. Actually, I remember being here 4 or 5 years ago when we had the public meeting related to the River BRT. There's a lot of populations that we would like to convince to get out of their car and onto the bus, but there's a lot of people who use the bus now, and we want to make that better for them. And a part of that is urban revitalization redevelopment. And that can mean really anything. That can mean community redevelopment, economic redevelopment, urban revitalization. Whatever it is, we're connecting people to jobs, we're connecting people to activity centers that can use the bus instead of an automobile.
As those gathered shared pizza before breaking into smaller work groups, conversation centered on Steve Longo's words about rumors of the Albany YMCA coming to the neighborhood. And McFeeters addressed a continuing problem faced not only by Albany's South End, but many of our aging historic neighborhoods throughout the Capital District.
And yes, we have talked to the Y, and we talk to them like every other week about developing something in the South End. Now that you may or may not have seen on the news last night that they'll be leaving North Albany and they're looking to come into the South End. So yeah, that's on the agenda.
We have one serious issue. You'll see here that back that's the 2007 plan, one of the strategies was rehab the historic vacant buildings. But that may not be the strategy now. This may be the strategy. The strategy is that we have so many buildings in those last 12 years that have now deteriorated to the point where they cannot be brought back. There is no way economically or even usefully that we can bring them back. We need to rethink that strategy. That newspaper that I put on the table back there is a discussion of what's happening with the vacant buildings and what's not happening, and the public health impact that those vacant buildings have on the people who live near them.
This has been Paul Smart reporting for Hudson Mohawk Magazine.